Okay, so hopefully I'm through loud and clear. I always love sharing about our persecuted brothers and sisters. I always find it a challenge, but an inspiration and a hope as well. So hopefully you'll find that today as well, and you won't feel guilty at all or anything like that. That's certainly not the point of it. Now, one of the things during this COVID season is giving us an opportunity to get an insight and connect with the persecuted church, our brothers and sisters, in a way that we probably wouldn't have before. So Ian's mentioned about worshiping together, missing that. You know, we've just seen in those videos, those great big worship services going on, and COVID's meant that we've not been able to do that. But in that, when we think of our brothers and sisters in many, many places around the world, they've never experienced that. So this time, amongst teaching us lots of other things, can just help us to feel a little bit what it's like to not be able to meet, to be able to worship freely and openly. It gives up that connection. And some of our brothers and sisters, you know, they can only meet in twos or threes. They would have to do it in secret. So if you need a title for the talk, Rich, it's the Secret Church. Okay, they need to do that, meeting in you know, in forests, maybe in homes, maybe in toilet blocks, in prison camps, these kind of places where they can just worship in a whisper. So just over the next few minutes, I'm going to use some of the Open Doors material, which is an organization that many of you know that I work with, which support the persecuted church around the whole world. And just to say that there's now 260 million Christians now that are in higher severe levels of persecution. So when I spoke a year ago or so, it was 215 million. It's now 260 million across the main 50 countries that are being persecuted. But so we're going to engage with some of those different situations. Now, as you can imagine, a lot of the church in these situations need to get very, very good at hiding things. So they have to be very careful about how they share their faith, but also very careful where they leave Christian material. So I'm not sure what you've got on your bookshelf behind you there, Rich, and many of us around our houses and CDs and crosses like that. But imagine where you couldn't have that. You couldn't have it out. You would have to hide things, especially your Bible. That's obviously the main thing that can be of danger. What would it be like living like that? So I'll just tell you a story from someone that Open Doors has been helping. So he's a guy called Musa in Cameroon. So he used to be an Islamic extremist. He used to have those views, but he started to question that ideology. And a local pastor actually was brave enough to give him a Bible. So he would hide it and he would start to read it at night. But unfortunately, one night he fell asleep and his mother found him with it. And she started beating him with a stick. And she said, "If I ever find you with this book again, goodness knows what I'm going to do to you." And he knew what that meant in that society. So he fled, fearing for his life. He went to the pastor who'd given him the Bible, who was then able to explain the gospel to him and about Jesus, and he actually became a Christian. So praise God for that. So God, even in these situations, is bringing people to himself. So I don't know if you've got any kids or if you've got young kids. If you want to play a game after this with them, you can do a variation on hide and seek where you can get them to hide your Bible for you, and then you can try and find it around the house. Or if you haven't, maybe you want to think, where would I hide my Bible so that if the police came around, they wouldn't find it? Where would you do that? So, one way we're going to help ourselves to connect is what I'd like to invite you to do, if you can do it, is I want you to shut your curtains and close any doors in the room that you're in. Okay? So, if you're able to do that, if you want to get up and do that now, shut your curtains. And shut your doors. Obviously, turn the light on first so we don't have anyone falling over anything. So for many, this is their Sunday morning. This is how they will spend their time, either on their own, or if they're fortunate to be in countries where the technology allows things like this, they will be connecting over the internet, Zoom, and other ways as well. So this is their experience. So I'm just going to read from Matthew 18 and verse 20. Very important verse. So it says, "For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them." So just to remind ourselves, as we've been talking already, that Jesus isn't split up by Zoom. He's with us always. So let me just quickly pray, and then we'll move on. So Father, I just thank you that for that amazing truth that you are with us always, even when we're on our own, but you're also with us in a special way when we gather, whether that's physically in a building or like now over the internet. And Lord, we just pray that we would continue to know your presence, and that we would pray a special blessing on our brothers and sisters around the world who are, like I say, under persecution at this time. Just pray that on this day where we remember your resurrection, that they would feel your presence in a special way today. In Jesus' name, amen. So for them, like I say, meeting together, even over Zoom, is super important. So I've mentioned Iran, but also China as well. There's in Wuhan, which where the COVID crisis all started, they see these meetings that we have, and midweek meetings as well, as a critical time of connection. So even though it's, like I say, a big loss from what it's like to meet physically, it's super important that everyone still gets that opportunity to share the struggles that they're having, either via persecution or just the fact that we're living in lockdown and all the stuff that goes with that as well. So it's really, really important. And one of the passages that quite often, I think this might have been what was alluded to earlier, was from Philippians 4:6. Yeah, I think that was you, Helen. And it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Yeah, so even though it's tough, we have to remember that we can present our prayers, and God will bring that peace that nothing else can bring. I've already mentioned about the Bible and how special it is, and we know, it's super special to all of us, and particularly if you're not able to meet with other Christians and you're not able to discuss and share, access to the Bible and passages is super, super important. It's your way that, or one of the ways that God can speak to you while you're on your own. And one of the things that the church in these places really love to do, because getting hold of Bible sometimes is a premium or is impossible, is they love to memorize scripture. It's something that they have to do and they love to do. So I want to tell you about Gideon. He's a Christian in Eritrea. So he was put in prison for his faith. They tried to get him to sign a document to say he wouldn't share his faith and he wouldn't read from the Bible, but he refused to. So he was taken to jail, and you can imagine what the conditions were like. So I'm just going to read some words from Gideon. Says, "I beat every part of my body until I almost died. I was thinking of Jesus. What an honor for me to share his affliction. I remember I said to myself inside, 'Lord, please forgive them. They do not know what they are doing to me. But I give you my soul to rest in your hand.' They took me to the prison again, and after 3 months, we had a Bible smuggled in without their knowledge. And we tore out pages of different Bible books and we distributed to those in the different cells. We chose four believers to take responsibility to distribute parts of the Bible. I was one of the four chosen believers, and it was my responsibility to coordinate all these things. Because there's no paper in the prison cells, I was using toilet paper to write Bible verses and send them to others. When the government agents searched our cell, they found all those verses that I had been writing. They asked, 'Who sent those papers, those verses?' When they found out it was me, they put me under severe torture for months. There was no part of my body that was not without pain. One of the persecutors asked me a question. Why are you paying so big a price? Why don't you renounce your faith and live a peaceful life? I replied, to me, the word of God is life. So I don't know about you. I always feel challenged when I hear stories like that, that you know, people are prepared no matter what to stay close to God and not to give in to that pressure. So what I wanted us to do now, just as a way of meditating on that story and connecting with it, is this is what your toilet paper and your pen is for. So if you want to tear a square off, if you've not got toilet paper, just use a piece of paper. And what I'd like you to do is to write down a Bible verse that's special to you, that encourages you. If you haven't got one that you know in your head, you know, do feel free to look one up in the Bible. Don't feel that because you haven't memorized anything, and that's a problem. So if we can do that for just a couple of minutes, or as long as it takes, that'd be great. How's everybody getting on? Has everyone had a chance to do that? Yeah, just flicking through there. Okay. Well, let's see if this works. Right. What I'd like you to do now is to hold your verse up against your camera to see if to show it to everyone. Might need to jiggle it around a little bit and pull it out so it's in focus. Okay. People can read some of those. Right. Thank you. So could one or two or maybe three people just go off mute and read their verse to the church, please? I'll read mine while you're thinking about it. So I've written down John 10:10, which is, I've come that they may have life and have it abundantly.
I've got Matthew 11:28, and it says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live lightly and freely.
Okay. I've got Psalm 23. Even if I go through the deepest darkness, I will not be afraid, Lord, for you are with me.
The eternal God is my refuge, and underneath are his everlasting arms. Deuteronomy 33:27.
Great. Okay. Thank you. So again, if you want a bit of homework, what you could do is you could write down another verse that maybe you haven't memorized but is special to you. Try and learn it for a week. And then, like the prisoners did, they would then, once they've learned it, they would then flush it down the toilet. So if you want to do that, that'd be great. Does anyone else want to read theirs just before we move on? Anyone's burning to do that?
Yeah, I will. This one really, I was reminded of during the worship. It's Isaiah 44, verses 3 and 4. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They will spring up like grass in a meadow, like poplar trees by flowing streams.
Great, thank you. Brilliant, okay. So what I want to do now is, like I say, we're going to move into a different type of communion. And it's a way that it's carried out in a country from Central Asia. Let's say. And I'll just read you out a bit of a story again of this sort of church meeting, and then I'll tell you how they do communion with it. So, again, this is a quote. So we rode in a 4x4 over very rugged mountain territory to a secret meeting of Christians in the southern part of the country. After a grueling number of hours, we finally arrived at a nondescript house where the meeting took place. The windows were covered with blankets to hide the activities from prying eyes. There was no heat or electricity. Candles and sunlight filtering through the blanket cracks provided what light we had. Two women, wives of two of the men, sat in a darkened corner with the room shrouded in their burqas. For the next few hours, we were transformed into a world few had experienced. The primary purpose of the secret meeting was to baptize the 12 men and two women who had gathered there. The meeting began with singing some psalms led by a former mullah, who's a Christian religious leader, I think. You know. He said he wanted to be a mullah for Jesus. As the meeting progressed, each man gave a testimony to his Christian faith. In the weeks and months after the secret church meeting, many of the group were martyred, praying the ultimate price for Jesus. Now, in this country, they can't use wine, and again, they don't want any. They can't have any evidence of the kind of materials that we would use to take communion. So, so they use grapes. So, if you want to just grab your grape a second and hold it. So just explain what we'll do. So we'll hold the grape for a little bit, for a few seconds. We'll just, again, remember our brothers and sisters in those kind of situations in those countries. And then we'll slowly put it into our mouths. We won't bite it straight away. We'll just reflect again. And then as you bite into the grape, that's when we want to remember Jesus, like we would with the bread and the wine, okay? As you taste the juice, you can be thankful for Christ's blood, as we would with the wine. And as you chew on the grape, remember his body broken for us. Okay. Lord Jesus, I want to thank and worship you for paying the ultimate price, Lord, to buy our freedom, to buy our resurrection and our relationship with you and the Father and the Holy Spirit. And again, we just praise you for the faithfulness of our brothers and sisters that, again, have also paid that ultimate price. Lord, we know that they're with you right now, worshipping and celebrating and enjoying the gift that we've all got to look forward to, Lord, when we're with you, finally, whether you come back or whether we go to meet you before then. Thank you, Lord. Now, worshipping in many of these countries, they can't sing out loud, but what they can do and what they do is they worship by whispering some of the songs. So if you want to take yourself off mute, you can do, so that give a bit of an effect. So what I'd like us to do, and again, I've intentionally not putting the word on this, I just want to us to whisper worship the first verse of Amazing Grace, if you know it. If you don't know it, don't worry. You can just listen. But again, just in a whisper. So we almost don't want to hear what's actually being said, just that little hum. Okay? Amazing. So for many, that's their experience of worship, either on their own or even with the two or three that they can meet with. Like I said, it's when we think of the persecuted church, we don't want to be in despair. They certainly don't give up hope. They keep going. And in fact, it's amazing that even in the persecution, that actually the church is growing. And China, which the level of persecution's got worse over recent years. There's a lot of surveillance and a lot of churches being closed down. The church in China is growing by 8% every single year. There's hundreds of millions of Christians in that country now. And actually, with the situation there in lockdown, the authorities there now are installing cameras and have been for a while. Facial recognition cameras in the churches themselves, and they actually listen in on the sermons and the services, not only to see who's attending, but also to see what's being said and is it a threat to the communist country there, the communist regime. Now that could be quite a scary thing if we had to put up with that, but actually they see it as an opportunity. So when the cameras are on and they are gathered, what they do is they preach to the people that are watching, the secret police. They see it as an opportunity to share the gospel with them. So they don't shy back. They're actually bold in speaking out, even though they know that that can affect their jobs, their children's education, being held back, you know, being kept as sort of second-class citizens, as it were. But again, they see it as a great opportunity. So just as we come to the end of this bit, what I want to do is just read another passage to you. So it's from John chapter 1, and it's verse 4 and 5. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And we want to remember that no matter what human powers and the spiritual powers try to do, they cannot stop the gospel. They can't stop God's kingdom. He's bigger. He's more powerful. And, you know, his will and his kingdom will be done. So just as we come to an end, what I want you to now do is open your doors. Open your curtains. And as you do that, just experience the freedom and the light of Christ. Okay, so I'm just going to finish there. And again, just to sort of say, if you want to know some more, I'll ping you a link to the Open Doors website after, where you can see other situations and things to pray into. I'll send you a link to an event that happened last night as well, where you can hear some stories again from people in Syria, in Nigeria, on the ground there, and the great things that the church is doing there. So thanks for that. Back to you, Rich.
Well, Rod, that was amazing and just really, really helpful to talk us through in such a practical way to help us really get a feel for some of the things that they feel, only in part, of course, but, you know, that was amazing. And I'm really disappointed that my dad couldn't be on the call, because he particularly wanted to hear you share. And I know he's got a gift for you, Rod, to give towards Open Doors, because he just feels very passionate about what you're doing. So I'll try and get a recording to him, which I know he'll appreciate. But I'm sure we're all really grateful for this. Ian, yeah, please do share something. Take yourself off mute.
I don't want to break your flow, Rich, but if as you're leading the meeting, I just feel a strong urge to go back to the first song. I know that means Pete trying to find it, and it also would require your agreement because you're leading the meeting. But if you agree, no, with
I'm
that,
totally fine I'd with like that. I felt like myself us to go that back it would to be the, good to finish.
I think we have so much to be grateful for, and what Rod's just laid before us is just one thing perhaps we weren't thinking of earlier on when we were trying to think what to be thankful for. I think we've all got at least one thing more now that may not have occurred to us earlier. So thank you, Rod, for enlightening me. But I just love, if I was standing in church with a guitar around my neck, this is probably what I'd be suggesting to whoever's leading the meeting that we do.
Thanks, Ian. And I think we will do that. So this will bring the meeting to a close. So when the song finishes, well, feel free to disconnect at any point. But when the song finishes, we'll just leave the room open for people to, you know, just chat amongst yourselves. So thanks, Pete.
Fall down upon the ground, press my face against the earth, till my heart it rises over my head. As the wheat it bows down low, when the autumn wind blows, I kneel before the one I love. Find me grateful, find me thankful, find me on my knees, find me dreaming, find me singing. beautiful.